Okay, hey gang, ni hao. Welcome to another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN, republicbroadcasting.org. It's the rerun of Free Speech. Why is it a rerun? Well, you might want to go to the archives and check out Beyond, the official narrative, from Friday, the 28th of February, because there was a round panel discussion, which just ended less than half an hour ago. And it was kind of a Stormfront reunion. It had Don Advo. It's always good to hear Don Advo and myself. Jay Haas, also a Stormfront co-host. And then Jeremy, who had been a frequent caller into Stormfront. And then Paul Stevenson joined. Rick had been towards the tail end of Stormfront. He had been a recurring, like once or twice, like maybe once a week co-host or something. And then Paul Stevenson joined from Britain. And then we had callers. And some of the callers were asking me, would I really greet the Chinese, an invading Chinese army as liberators? And I was saying, hell yeah, I would. I mean, not that we should be so lucky. And frankly, if they were going to invade, I'd say, actually, you know, give Donald Trump a chance here, because it's a long shot, but something good might happen. But still, I stand by my slogan. I stand with the Chinks. I do. And so go to republicbroadcasting.org, smash the donate button, send the fundage to 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Phone it into 1-800-724-2719, extension 3. And we have with us Cato. Cato, welcome to the show.
It's good to be here, Dr. Slattery. It's been a few weeks, busy weeks, but yeah, I got to say, today was one of those days when I turned on the news, and to my delight, or should I say our delight, watching Zelensky get completely destroyed in the Oval Office was definitely a sight to see. It was very, very entertaining.
Okay, so like I mentioned, this is Friday. We just got done with our Friday roundtable, and we discussed this somewhat on Richard Carey's show. This is Friday. This show will probably be broadcast on Tuesday, possibly Monday if Mark Collett has a bank holiday or something like that, but Tuesday. So we don't know exactly what might have transpired in the next few days, but we're going to give our fresh impressions of this certainly unprecedented event in the Oval Office with Donald Trump and J.D. Vance and Volodymyr Zelenskovich, whatever his name is, and the entire White House press corps and some intern who was sitting behind, looking rather uncomfortable sitting behind Zelensky. So why don't you summarize what happened today in the Oval Office for somebody who might have been on another planet?
So basically, as most of you probably know, the Russia-Ukraine war is coming to a wrap. And essentially, Russia has gained everything and Ukraine has lost everything. Well, everything up to this point. And as you know, there are negotiations now going on between the United States and Russia that are taking place in Saudi Arabia. And Trump basically is going to meet with Putin at some point and work out a deal of some sort to prevent any further bloodshed and any further loss on the Ukrainian side. And of course, Zelensky, you know, being the bloodthirsty, mass-murdering Jew that he is, of course he doesn't want it to end. Of course he wants to fight to the last Ukrainian and go down with everything. He'd rather sink the whole country of Ukraine than give up, you know, than admit any defeat. He of course goes to the White House and, you know, basically starts telling Trump, oh, well, you didn't support me here. You didn't, how can you be? And Trump basically told him, look, you've lost. It's over. You just, we're going to get what deal we can. And the best you can do is take it, because any more of this and there's more of your people are going to die. Of course, they're not his people, because Zelensky's Jewish and those are Ukrainians. He doesn't care about those guys. They're just cannon fodder. But the point is, Trump basically told Zelensky, you've lost. It's over. Any kind of deal, any kind of deal from Russia is better than total defeat. So you're just gonna have to take whatever we get you, and if you don't, well then we can't support you anymore. It's over. So this is where we are now. After what, 2 years? Yeah, it was 2022, right? Was when it started. Yeah, two. No, three. No, 3 years. 3 years of fighting. So yeah, it's over after 3 years.
Yeah, it's been 3 years. It's just 3 years and a week, 3 years and 6 days. I remember it was right as, speaking of Stormfront Radio, it was right as Stormfront Radio was wrapping up because of Don Black's health problems. We had decided, okay, we're wrapping up the show. Was it the end of February? And of course, the so-called Russian invasion, the military operation, the special military operation. Was, I believe, February 22nd. And there's 28 days in February. I can't remember exactly how the weekend fell 3 years ago. But I have the feeling that it was one of the very last shows where we talked about this. And I remember walking around O'Hare Airport, or was it Midway Airport? Maybe it was Midway Airport in Chicago. And talking about this, we had invited, so it was Stormfront, but we wound up inviting Mark Bankoff on to discuss this. And so yeah, it was 3 years ago. It's been going on for 3 years, which is longer than I thought it could go on. But your points about maybe people might think you're overstating it or whatever, but Zelensky, he is Jewish. This was a Jewish scheme against Vladimir Putin. Exactly what Vladimir Zelensky thought he was doing, I can't exactly say, but the name of this game was to provoke Russia into an invasion. Now, an invasion doesn't mean you've started the war. The United States invaded Normandy on D-Day in 1944. Does that mean the United States started the war no, it didn't start the war in 1944. There was already a war going on for years, and the United, but that doesn't mean the United States didn't invade Normandy. It did invade Normandy. And there had been a war going on in eastern Ukraine for 8 years, and it got to the point with the warfare in eastern Ukraine and with the threat of Ukraine joining NATO and thus potentially invoking Article 5, and bringing NATO into this con to a war that was already ongoing. And Zelensky's threats to acquire, or as he said, reacquire nuclear weapons, it just got to be an intolerable situation. The Russians did invade. They didn't start the war, but they did invade. And the invasion really, what did they do? They drove a column of tanks to the outskirts of Kiev. They didn't go and lay waste to cities. They drove a column of tanks to the outskirts of Kiev and just sat there. And the point was to pressure the Ukrainians into negotiating a end to that 8-year-long war in eastern Ukraine that the Ukrainians have been waging on these separatist provinces, and getting some sort of viable deal that could last for a while. And they there were last, permanently, a good viable deal. And the Ukrainian government and the Russian government sent representatives to Istanbul, Turkey, and they were on the verge of an agreement in March, just weeks after this started. Boris Johnson flew in and said, "No, the Jews say you got to keep fighting." And it was a Jewish plot. They wanted to use to provoke this invasion so that this is a Victoria Nuland plan, so she could jump up and down. She and Blinken and Janet Yellen, they could jump up and down and say, this was an, Russia is bad, and we have to have crippling economic sanctions. And the idea was that the sanctions would cripple the Russian economy and lead to the overthrow of Vladimir Putin. If I've said it once, I've said it 6 million times. And that was the plan. And once the Chinese government made it clear in March that they were not going to go along with these sanctions, it should have been game over. But instead, the Jewish power structure, which includes Yellen and Blinken and Nuland, they just kept going because, well, you know, maybe we can weaken Russia. And besides, if okay, so that was, we got interrupted for a second, technical issue, but that was the plan. So I'm going to kick it over to you for your comments, Cato.
Yeah, so, well, basically, what we've seen here in these last 3 years is the Jews just don't know when to give up or when to admit defeat. Of course, they don't care because it's not them that, you know, individually that's getting affected by all the fighting. It's the poor Ukrainians that they're using as cannon fodder against Russia. So they don't care. They can keep throwing as many bodies as they want, but we're definitely getting to a point now where essentially the U.S. is running out of resources and running out of money to keep on supplying the Ukraine with more weapons and resources to fight Russia, because for one thing, every time the U.S. Supplies the Ukraine more weapons, it gets destroyed by Russia. And obviously, we know the sanctions didn't work. Russia actually became stronger than ever as a result of the sanctions, because now they're less dependent on the U.S. And in turn, the whole world, public opinion, the global opinion is against the U.S., seeing that the U.S., they're going to weaponize their economic system, their global economic system against nations that they don't like, then all the other nations, of course, they're going to be turned away by that. So, I mean, this is a huge defeat for the American empire and for the liberal international order. We're definitely seeing the fissures of this this liberal international system and this you know, U.S. hegemony. We're seeing fissures getting bigger and bigger. And, you know, I think Trump knows that, and he's basically acknowledging it. So this is a huge defeat for the U.S. and the Ukraine. And world liberalism, of course, and it's a huge win for Russia. So that's my take on everything that's happened up to this point.
So, I mean, you mentioned that this Jewish power structure really doesn't know, they don't know when they're going too far, right? They go too far, and yeah. they went too far on this, and it's a big loss for them. And, you know, people might say, oh, no, they planned it this way. The whole idea is to depopulate the Ukraine so that they can turn it into another Israel or whatever. There are people who are always going to say that everything is planned. The Jews plan everything, and the Jews always win. And everything winds up just being kind of circular. You know, oh, well, it happened, so therefore it was planned, and it was good for the Jews. Everything's always good for the Jews. Everything's always – and if I believe that, I would – I wouldn't do any kind of politics. I'd just try to learn the piano or get a golf game or just enjoy life what I could. But I think things can be changed. I think we can change them, and that's why I shoot my mouth off. So Zelensky, is he even going to return to Ukraine? What's the point of him going back to Ukraine? Why, if I were Zelensky, I would say, you know, I might not be welcome in America, but I'm probably not going to get assassinated here. I think I'm just going to resign right now and not go back to Ukraine. Because if he goes back to Ukraine, what's going to happen to him?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I guess we'll see in the next few days here what happens. But, yeah, I mean, Zelensky, he is an iron-fisted tyrant. He's ruling by decree. I mean, he is the definition of a tyrant. Everything that he's doing, arresting his political opponents, shutting down Orthodox churches, you know, dragging, you know, sending his goons to go and drag young men into camps where they'll be given a uniform and a rifle and told to run toward the front line. I mean, he is a tyrant, shutting down political opposition, shutting down journalists, you know, murdering even American citizens who are just journalists over there, if you know who I'm talking about.
Yeah, Gonzalo Lira.
Exactly.
And what was his crime? What was his crime?
For daring to report the truth about what's going on over there.
Yeah, and including calling out Victoria Nuland as being motivated by an ethnic-based hatred as a Jew against the Russians. He called that out, and what happened to him? He got tortured in a Ukrainian prison and died.
Yeah, in a dungeon and murdered.
Yeah.
So, yeah. This is the kind of brutal tyrant we're dealing with. And honestly, I think Trump was too nice to him for even letting him set foot in the White House. And I mean, it's this bloodthirsty mass murderer. Of course, you know, he let Netanyahu in, so no surprise there. He's another bloodthirsty mass murderer. But I mean, Zelensky, it's so obvious. All the crimes against humanity that he has committed. And, you know, and there he is thinking he can just, you know, push around President Trump and J.D. Vance and expect just to get everything he wants. And then Trump this time's like, no, you're not getting that. It's over for you. Just take whatever you can. Otherwise, you're on your own.
Yeah. So, did you notice J.D. Vance specifically calling him out on the these conscription gangs that go around and drag people off the street and shove them into vans?
Yeah, that's what I mean.
You know, put a gun in their hand and send them to the front line. Just hand them over.
Yeah, press gangs.
Yeah, and press gangs. Yeah, he specifically called out Zelensky on that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he should, because I mean that right there is in and of itself is already a crime against humanity. To force people to fight like that. I mean, that's what they used to do back in the 17th century or 18th century warfare. Used to be that way. I mean, to have that, to see that in the 21st century is just unbelievable.
So we had a caller tonight to the Beyond, the official narrative, and the caller, he suggested something that, you know, I was already thinking of, that this was kind of a setup, that this whole deal of having some sort of arrangement with Ukraine where the United States gets these rare earth mineral mining rights and it'll send people over, and having American people in Ukraine is going to be kind of a de facto security protection for them, because who is going to invade, mess with American miners or whatever it is. And so they got Zelensky to come over and then had this big event. And then, I haven't seen the whole thing from start to finish. I've seen the start and I've seen the finish. I haven't seen everything in the middle. So I can't really make a judgment on this. But the idea is that they brought him over knowing that this wasn't going to work, knowing that they were going to have a confrontation with him. And so it was kind of a setup. It wasn't. What do you think of that?
I think anybody can say anything's a setup if they want to feel that way. I think this was Zelensky coming over here and thinking that he could just, talk up to the U.S. president and demand that he gets what he wants. But it didn't go his way this time, and he got destroyed and was escorted out of the White House with his tail between his legs.
I mean, we've never seen anything like that. And so I don't know. I will want to go and watch that whole 43-minute event. But, I think it's possible that this was kind of a setup, that Trump has made a decision. When did he make the decision? I don't know. But Trump's made a decision that he is going to have good relations with Russia. He had wanted to have good relations with Russia back in 2015 when he announced he was running for president the first time. He was clear on this, and he tried. He had one proper summit meeting with Putin somewhere in Europe. I can't remember. He never hosted Putin at the White House. Putin never hosted him in Moscow. But they did have one meeting once, and it was a decent meeting. But then the Zionist media and their shills, like former CIA director, John Brennan, and James Clapper, the former director of national intelligence, people like this, were calling Trump. They're saying that he committed treason by meeting with Putin.
Come on, 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 come on Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com, or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
I'm so excited to have you as part of the Wild Pastures family, and we look forward to bringing you the pasture-raised meats that you and your family will love. Now, we started Wild Pastures because so many of my clients would tell me they just couldn't find high-quality pasture-raised meats, and even when they did, it was so expensive that they couldn't afford to eat it regularly. Now, I'm not talking about the bottom-of-the-barrel healthy meats that have claims like natural or free-range or even cage-free, terms that were actually created by the industrial food industry to make us feel all warm and fuzzy about buying their low quality products. I'm talking about truly nourishing pasture-raised meats, the kind that you'll never really find in a grocery store. Our farmers are doing things beyond organic. Our beef is 100% grass-fed and grass-finished and raised on pastures free from chemicals and other pesticides. Our chickens are 100% pasture-raised, where they get their natural diet of grass and forage and insects. We will never settle for free range, which is actually one of the most deceptive terms in the chicken industry. In fact, less than 0.1% of the chicken consumed in the United States is truly pasture-raised in the way that ours is. And our pork is 100% pasture-raised as well. So if you care about where your food comes from, then you have definitely made it to the right place. As a Wild Pastures member, you'll be supporting the most highly principled farmers in America and getting the most nutrient-dense, nourishing, and sustainable meats in the world. I'm confident you'll love being part of our mission at Wild Pastures, and you will really love the delicious, nourishing meats that we're going to deliver straight to your door.
Visit republicbroadcasting.org and click the Wild Pastures banner ad. Secure a shipment today. Beef, poultry, and pork. Raised the way nature intended.
Director of National Intelligence, people like this, were calling Trump. They're saying that he committed treason by meeting with Putin. And of course, we've had more or less annual summit meetings between Soviet / Russian leaders and American presidents, going back to certainly like the Nixon era. So they were calling this treason, and they did the whole Russia hacked the election, and Trump was Putin's puppet, and really hamstrung Trump during his entire first term.
And the reason why is because they hate Russia more than they hate Trump, and because Trump wanted good relations with Russia, at least that's what he said initially. They were butthurt and they couldn't have that. So it was not only was it a jab against Trump, it was a jab against Russia.
Yeah. And you say they hate Russia more than Trump. And I think the reason for that, I think that's a true statement. I think the reason for it is because Putin and his team are more competent than Trump and his team. Trump and Trumpism represents a threat to the Jewish power structure, but it's a threat that they were capable of dealing with during the first term. They have not been capable of – and they got the upper hand with Trump during the first term, but they weren't able to prevent him from coming back for reasons. But with Putin, Putin is much more competent, and that's why I think you're correct that they hate him even more than they hate Trump. But they do hate Trump, and I think I wouldn't be surprised if Trump understands that Putin could be a valuable ally for Trump to consolidate his position in the United States and pursue his own program.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I think.
I mean, truth be told, if the three superpowers would, you know, get along and learn to respect each other, have their own sphere, you know, the U.S., China, and Russia, I think the world would be a much better place. I'm mainly talking about the United States learning to get along with the other two. Russia and China have no problem getting along with, definitely with each other, but also with the United States, if the United States moves. But it's the United States that keeps, you know, battering and keeps saying, oh, no, the U.S., we want hegemony. And I think, now, you know, I'm not saying that I have much, you know, faith in Trump or anything, but what we might be seeing here in Trump's foreign policy is more of a shift away from, you know, interventionism in Europe and Asia and more, you know, focused toward our hemisphere, the Western hemisphere. And I think this is a step in that direction. Of course, the one hill that the U.S. will never give up on is its, you know, unwavering support for Israel. That's a huge problem. But I think in terms of wanting to promote, you know, global liberalism and liberal degeneracy around the whole world, we're definitely seeing that being rolled back, especially with the, you know, all the USA revelations of, you know, what U.S. tax money is being going toward overseas. So that, and then also just, you know, the U.S. empire doesn't have any money anymore. It's running out of money. And it's basically America is in what you call self-preservation mode now. And
and I think you're absolutely right that Russia, China, and the United States could get along just fine. The very based Jew, Jeffrey Sachs, Professor Jeffrey Sachs, he was making this point to the, was it the European Parliament, or he was in Europe, and I think he was speaking to the European Parliament or some EU body, but it was an amazing speech that he gave, and he said there is no fundamental issue that should keep the United States and Russia and China apart. There isn't anything, you know, if, like, what's the big bone of contention? Well, it's for, you know, that we hear about. We hear about Taiwan, or sometimes you hear about the Uyghurs, or, you know, Hong Kong, or something like that. But these aren't fundamental concerns of the United States. They aren't. These are just artificial problems that people within not exclusively Jews, a lot of people in the military too, but that people in the United States have clung to in order to create a problem. But it's not something, there's no fundamental interest that the United States has in turning Taiwan into an independent country. There's no reason why they can't get along. And Jeffrey Sachs really made an amazing speech. And it's interesting that he's got such access, and he's become very, very influential. So he gave this speech in front of, I think it was the European Parliament. It was some EU body 6 months ago. Was it 6 months ago? It was some time ago. The last time China was the chair of the UN Security Council. Maybe it was 14 months ago or something. But China had invited Jeffrey Sachs to speak to the UN Security Council, and he gave an amazing speech there, where he was blaming American foreign policy. Now he won't call it Jewish foreign policy, but American neocon foreign policy, for the problems with China and for the problems in Ukraine and the problems in the Middle East specifically. And he has had an influence on Trump. We know that Trump tweeted this remarks
The truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Hey there, this is Sheila with Hempaste by Mynutra. Why is Hempaste better than other CBD options on the market? It's important to point out that the common CBD oil does not contain CBDA or CBGA, and they're only found in fresh or raw hemp products, like Hempaste. Hempaste contains the entire plant, minus any stems. This means the product retains the complete genetic code of the plant, which also includes those two vital cannabinoids, CBGA and CBDA. Over and over, experts keep saying the more intact or less processed the hemp plant is, the more effective it is. Happy Hemp Paste.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for Hemp Paste at republicbroadcasting.org. And visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
Call 855-656-8872. Mention RBN.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org. Smash that donate button like Russian peacekeepers smashing through the Azov neo-Nazi terrorists in the Donbass.
I don't think you can explain politics without looking at Jewish power any more than you can explain physics without dealing with gravity.
9/11 was a jointly conducted covert operation that involved multiple states, the Saudis, the Israelis, and what you could call the deep state in the United States.
With anti-Semitic remarks.
yeah, you're jiggling juice, we used to say, the dancing Israelis.
So even the Republicans now are compromising, and they're pushing issues that are destructive to the white race.
They would always say, like, are we just going to talk about this stuff on the radio? Like, what are we going to do about it?
Either we force the democracy to work by actually getting the ballot access, getting the candidates, getting in office, getting our message out there to the people, or we expose just how undemocratic it is.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
Middle East specifically, and he has had an influence on Trump. We know that Trump tweeted this remarks that or tweeted a video of remarks that Jeffrey Sachs was making in an interview where he called Benjamin Netanyahu a deep dark son of a bitch. Apparently he got that video through Tulsi Gabbard, so I'm bringing up Jeffrey Sachs there. But yeah, he's making the same point you did, that there's no fundamental issue. There's no reason why these three countries can't get along. And frankly, if these three countries are getting along, then you don't have a risk of World War III. Everything else could follow from there, including even the Middle East. So I'll kick it back to you, Cato.
Yeah, it's because the Jewish power cannot stand competitors. They want complete hegemony over the entire world. And that's why, the rise of a multipolar world – which is inevitable. It's happening. I mean, there's no stopping. It's guaranteed to happen. That's why these Jewish power structures are they're panicking, and that's why they're not throwing everything they can at it to stop it. You know, up to and including destroying the whole planet. They're that insane and that psycho to do that.
Well, multipolar, and so you know, the big three right now are these three countries. The United States is probably the most tenuous of the three because its economy is excessively dependent on consumption and lacks production, and you know, it's very vulnerable. But
it's the most unstable economy, because there's no manufacturing or any kind of industry backing it. It's all just exchange of services and consumption. And that's not an economy like that's not going to last. The only reason why the U.S. still technically has the most powerful economy is because, well, people, you know, even though that's changing too, the U.S. dollar is still the world reserve currency, but that's changing.
That's changing, and it's very vulnerable there. And, you know, I know that you're not necessarily the biggest fan of India. India is a big country, and India is in BRICS. It's one of the founding members of BRICS. And when you get down to it, there really isn't even a fundamental – I mean, China and India have had bad relations ever since Indian independence in 1947. But when you get down to it, there's not even a fundamental issue between China and India. You know, the skirmishes that they've had have been in the Himalaya Mountains. And you could call it a territorial issue, but it's not really a territorial issue, because it's over mountain peaks where nobody really lives. It's more of a border demarcation issue than a real territorial issue. You know, between Pakistan and India, you have that whole Kashmir, Jammu. There's a large territory that lots of people live in that's actually pretty nice, and they have a territorial issue where nice place to live, where people actually live, and it's a nice area. But between China and India, they don't really have a fundamental issue. The only reason that the demarcation of the boundary through these world's highest mountain range, the only reason it matters is because they're not getting along. Then, you know, I guess you want potentially the highest mountain peak, but really there's no fundamental issue even there. The world would do just fine if, and I hate to say it like this, but if the Jews weren't so paranoid. The Jews are so paranoid that they feel that they have to control everything, and they become very ruthless in the pursuit of control, and they feel that they have to control everything, because if they're not in control, then they're going to get holocausted again. And the reason that there's resentment against the Jews is because they're control freaks, but they're control freaks because they're paranoid. It is this vicious cycle, and when you get down to it, what's propelling the cycle is Jewish paranoia. Really what's propelling it. That's
well, I mean, you know, the economist, you know, Michael Hudson, the economist.
I know Mike. Yes, I do.
Yeah, he said that there was one clip of him where he said that, you know, when he was around all these Jewish neocons, he said every single day, not a day would go by without one mention of, you know, gas chambers of these Jews.
It's like he said that.
He said these people are nuts. They're psycho, because they every day they act like as if the whole world wants to throw them into gas chambers. That's what he said. I'll send you the clip. I have the clip. That's what he said.
Mm-hmm. It's very deeply ingrained in their culture, and you know, of course, our RBN audience knows that in the countries where these events allegedly took place, any kind of academic or intellectual inquiry, historic inquiry into what actually happened, is illegal. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah,
a lot of claims that have been made in the past have been so debunked that they're not making them anymore. Like turning people into soap, like turning people into lampshades. You know, there's a lot of things that have been alleged, which are just absolutely ridiculous. And Ron Unz, who is another of these based Jews who are big heroes, Ron Unz recently had an article, and you can listen to his articles because he reads them, and he reads them slowly, and you can listen to them at 1.5 speed very easily, very comfortably. And it was about what was the name of it? It's near the top of UNS.com, and it was about the Holocaust and about the various reasons why a lot of the narrative should be doubted. But the thing is, it feeds into their paranoia. This is a big problem. It is a massive mistake to let Jewish paranoia run wild, being fed by this Holocaust narrative. And, you know, here's the thing. I'm going to say two things. Well, I'm just going to say one thing. I had a landlady who was Jewish. She was born in 1911 and born in Germany, 1911. And she lived through as a little girl, she lived through the First World War. And then as a married woman, she left Germany in the 30s, went to Holland, but Holland was occupied, and she and her husband were put in a labor camp. Now, she had bad vision. I used to go up to her apartment. We lived in a duplex. She was upstairs. I'd go to her apartment every day and read her mail. And, you know, there was a lot of it was a very, very educating to me, because she was getting all of these mailings from Jewish charities asking for money for this and that. Or an entire show to talk about it. But here's the thing. I read her mail because her vision was so bad. She'd always had vision problems, but it wasn't that bad in the 40s. But her husband made them out to be worse than they really were. And so these evil Nazis, they said, well, okay, then she doesn't have to work. Okay, so that – I know that to be a fact. And she, in fact, you could go to Steven Spielberg – he had people interview her. He did this project where they interviewed Holocaust survivors. And, you know, she was somebody who was very difficult to get along with. Not even the Jews liked her. Nobody really liked her. I liked her. I thought she was funny, but in her way. But she could lie if there was a benefit to her. But otherwise, she was just kind of
extremely entitled. Very
honest.
Yeah,
but so she didn't have to. She was in a labor camp, but didn't have to work because her vision wasn't good. So,
I mean,
the point was just that we let it's bad for everybody to let them wallow in fake Holocaust narrative. That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and then criminalize any other questions and academic scholarly research, you know, questioning it, and to criminalize all that. I mean, that to me, you know, is just, I mean, it's like, okay, well, what exactly are you paranoid about? You know, that goes back to the whole Jewish paranoia. They're afraid that, oh, you know, if the truth comes out, it might go against their narrative, and then they won't be able to fool the whole world. Or the Western world, at least, because quite frankly, the whole, you know, what, 4/5 of the world that's outside the West doesn't care. You know, we got more other things to worry about in life than the Holocaust of the Jews.
Yeah.
So.
Well, it's interesting what you say about Michael Hudson. I'm aware of Michael Hudson, and he's actually a Marxist economist, and he comes on the Dialogue Works podcast, which has a big overlap in terms of guests. It has a big overlap with Judge Napolitano. But the podcast, Napolitano's interviews tend to be about 25 minutes, and Dialogue Works tends to be more or less a full hour. There's a lot of overlap, but he has on Michael Hudson, and often he'll have on Michael Hudson at the same interview with, is it a guy named, I think it's David Wolf, who is also a Jewish Marxist. Is he an economist or is he a historian? I'm not. Richard Wolf.
Yeah, is that the Jewish creep that appears on RT every now and then?
He may well be.
Yeah. I don't know. That dude's creepy. There's something wrong about him.
I find him really annoying.
Yeah.
Andrew Anglin once wrote an article about him saying, you know, why is YouTube. Why is the YouTube algorithm shoving Richard Wolf down my throat? But he was saying he doesn't really find Richard Wolf that annoying. I do, because, you know, Richard Wolf, he's always harping back to Nazis and harping back to white supremacy and settler colonialism and everything. And, you know, he's just got very Jewish attitudes toward things. And Michael Hudson comes on with him. And so people who are, you know, Marxist economists or people who are kind of Chomskyite political theorists, there's a lot of goy. You know, people like, who's the New York Times reporter who talked a lot about Gaza and Palestinians. Chris Hedges.
Chris Hedges, yeah.
A lot of people like that who get, you know, they are very upset with certain aspects of, say, the Israeli government. They're upset with certain results of Jewish power, and yet they don't realize how thoroughly indoctrinated they are into Jewish ideologies.
Yeah, and of course they're not going to acknowledge Jewish power. They're going to make some excuse. Oh, this is you know, just a spinoff or a derivative of white colonialism or some crap like that.
Yeah,
they're not going to acknowledge Jewish power. Those people, you know, you might listen to them every now and then. They might say one thing here or there, but at the end of the day, their agenda and their worldview is totally wrong and bad.
Do you watch the Here Comes the Judge show with Andy Napolitano?
Not really. Maybe clips here and there. I know Colonel Douglas McGregor used to appear on there a lot.
He does regularly. Yeah.
Yeah, I would watch clips of him, but that's about it.
Yeah, he's pretty solid. And, you know, there are interesting people who come on, including some Jews. Max Blumenthal does largely good work, but he's kind of a bit Chomskyite. And then Aaron Mate, who's a close collaborator with Blumenthal, who really is from a Chomskyite background, very Chomskyite. But he's actually reasonably solid. You got this Colonel Wilkerson. What's his first name? Something Wilkerson. Larry. Colonel Larry Wilkerson, who had been chief of staff for Colin Powell when Colin Powell was Secretary of State. And he has a lot of respect for Colin Powell, whom I don't. I don't share that respect. And Wilkerson, on a lot of issues, you know, he's all right. Like on Ukraine, he's all right. I wouldn't be surprised if he's a registered Republican, but he's really bitten into a lot of Jewish narratives about about race and integration and white supremacy and things like that. And he's gotten very Chomskyite. He might not realize it, but he's very Chomskyite about saying that Israel is a product of the American Empire. It's driven by the American Empire. This is Chomsky, and
right.
Chomsky probably can't help it. Maybe he's not doing it intentionally. He just can't help it. But, you know, this is just a way of excusing the...
Excusing themselves.
Yeah.
Yeah, another one, too, another leftist. Scott Ritter, that's another leftist. That, you know, because he's always talking about... It's the same thing, always going on about the Nazis and defeating the Nazis and everything. Yeah, he's another leftist who is, anti-Zionist, obviously anti-Ukraine, but... He's got the wrong worldview, and at the end of the day, your worldview matters just as much as the facts that you know, what you know to be true. So you can have all the right facts, but if you have the wrong worldview, then you can't really work with them in the long run.
Right. Ritter is interesting. I met Ritter once. I went to one of his events, a speaking event, 15 or 20 years ago, and I talked to him afterwards. Got his email. And then later when I started going on David Duke's show, I mentioned that to David, and he said, oh, try to get him. And I emailed him, but maybe he didn't have the same email address anymore. He never responded. But Ritter, I have the feeling that he legitimately has Asperger's. Because have you ever seen him go on rants? Now, granted, I tend to listen to everything at 1.5 speed, which my... I'd amplify it, but I really think he's got a case of Asperger's, because he gets into these rages, placed rages, and he can get provoked very easily and just starts just sounding like some Marine. Nobody messes with the USA, you know, England, they're just a third rate tin pot scumbag. Nobody messes with the United States. If we do something, that is what it is. You know, he just gets, and it's really unbecoming. But you know, sometimes he's on the right side of issues. Sometimes his passion sounds reasonable, but a lot of the time he's got Asperger's.
Yeah, he probably does. Yeah, he's very emotional. Definitely for sure, he's a very emotional guy. So, yeah, but I mean, all these guys, I mean, they're, you know, they're at the end of the day on the other side of the political spectrum from us, you know, you, me, and David Duke. And, you know, I mean, on certain things we might agree on current events, but at the end of the day, we have totally different visions of how the world should work. So there was one guy.
So we're coming up to the towards the end, but we do have time.
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read a few. After taking Extendivite for about 6 months, I've noticed improvement on the numbness of my hands and wrists from the carpal tunnel syndrome. I will continue to buy product. This formula is very powerful. I am feeling much better. My heart rate and blood pressure is stabilized. My lower edema has reduced and lower leg pain due to blood clots has disappeared. This product has relieved what appears to be an angina problem, pain in the chest after climbing stairs and short on breath. I'm quite happy about it. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Get More Tank will save you money every month on gas. I'm Dave Von Kleist, and I noticed increased performance after my first tank of gas. My mileage increased by 2.5 miles per gallon, and I'm saving money on every fill-up. Get More Tank is American-made, is used by trucking companies and heavy industry, and is now available to the public. Get More Tank works in any gas or diesel engine, cleans your engine, improves performance, reduces emissions, and you'll feel it every time you step on the gas. If you're an owner-operator, farmer, heavy equipment operator, or use any kind of engine from chainsaws, leaf blowers, lawnmowers, ATVs, you name it. Contractors, electricians, plumbers, painters, lawn service companies, Get More Tank will save you money and extend the life of your equipment. Hey, if you've got an engine, then Get More Tank. Save your money, save your engine. Reduce your emissions and save the earth with GetMoreTank.com. A 5-pack of GetMoreTank.com is only $22.22 plus shipping. Use the promo code Republic Broadcasting and get 10% off. Get More Tank is EPA registered, doesn't void warranties, and results vary. GetMoreTank.com.
Hi, Tom Bolton for Ease Off. I know so many of you are finding our EZ4 carcass drop and lift an essential tool for your meat processing operation, but today I want to spotlight four of our new products. First, our right height hog cradles with steel or aluminum frames. Our customers love this back-saving innovation that enhances sanitation and speeds production. Next, our beef cradles with stainless steel or aluminum frames eliminate rust and corrosion. We hope you'll compare our quality and prices for this essential part of your processing line. Our cradles are especially effective when used with our power skinner. And finally, our hook tumbler will keep your hooks clean and polished. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
At the end of the day, we have totally different visions of how the world should work. So there was one guy.
So we're coming up to the towards the end, but we do have time for you to say whatever it is that you want to say. So go right ahead.
Well, I guess just in the wake of everything that's happened today, you know, with the White House and Trump basically telling Zelensky, look, it's over. We're done here. Basically implying that not only is the Ukraine defeated, but the U.S. has no money left to fund the liberal international order, this liberal hegemonic project. They got to sacrifice all of their liberal projects in the name of Zionism. Sacrifice liberalism for Zionism. That's basically what I'm seeing happen. So I guess if we were to do a parallel comparison between the United States and the Soviet Union, which is, these two get compared a lot on this show and on other shows on this network, I want to raise out a question, something that I just thought of. Now, it's a little far-fetched, but, might be a possibility. You know how just as the Soviet Union was, supposedly was the promoter of international communism, and when I say the Soviet mm-hmm. Union, I'm talking about the post-Stalin, during the latter years of Stalin and after. I'm not talking about the Bolsheviks from before. They were a totally different monster. I'm talking about the established Soviet Union of the post World War II. Just as the Soviet Union was a promoter of international communism, so is the United States today and before a promoter of world liberalism. And just as the Soviet Union collapsed, of course, the Soviet Union was nowhere near as interventionist as the United States. The United States is way more interventionist, way more dogmatic about spreading, militaristic liberalism around the world than the Soviet Union was about spreading communism around the world. But just as the Soviet Union slowly collapsed, not slowly, actually very suddenly collapsed, starting with Gorbachev, where he dismantled the Soviet Union, is it possible that Donald Trump could be to the American empire and to liberal hegemony what Gorbachev was to the Soviet Union and international communism? Is it
absolutely
possible?
Absolutely. Yeah. And in fact, Jeffrey Sachs was saying that. He was just saying that recently.
Yeah, and that's the vibe. That's the vibe I'm getting from this.
He says it as an admirer of Gorbachev. I say it as an admirer of Gorbachev. I'm not saying it is a bad thing. Sure. Gorbachev could have succeeded. I think he almost succeeded. And Trump can succeed. He might. He may not. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the day, while Gorbachev personally didn't succeed, Gorbachev did. He did set up a situation where somebody like Putin could eventually come in and
make things right. Yeah, make things right again. Yeah, it's very possible because you see how after the Soviet Union collapsed, just completely dissolved. And all the money went into the, sadly went into the Jewish oligarchs. In a way, if, the American empire is sacrificing its liberal internationalism on the altar of Zionism, and all the money is being channeled away from all these, international liberalistic, projects and focused on Israel, focused on the Jews, particularly the Jewish billionaires. So... yeah, I mean, there are a lot of parallels to be made and a lot of comparisons, and only time will tell as this develops. But yeah, I mean, after just seeing what happened in the White House today, I'm getting those vibes.
Yep, good vibes. Yeah. Picking up good vibrations. Okay, well, I want to thank you for joining me.
Yes, thank you, and look forward to being with y'all next week.
We will do that, and I'll be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National People Radio.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Paudi Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.